And a good Friday, everybody. Welcome in Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Yes, it is I, Chase McCabe, alongside Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Nick Keezer.
I'm here.
It's a Friday. We're right here.
Hey, Chase, we got the same look on today.
Yeah. Okay, except you're not wearing a wrestling shirt.
Yeah.
But you see this? I am the needle mover.
The needle mover. It's that kind of Friday, huh, Chase?
Acknowledge me. It is. I'm excited for today. I think it's old home week. Here at 102.5 The Game, I heard Ryan Porth on with the morning show, which I couldn't help myself. Will you stop breaking stuff?
I didn't break it. It fell off. I tried to put it back on this morning.
I had to let him. I said, is this really the best we could do? Just getting Ryan Porth on. No. It's good to hear that.
We love you, Porth.
Kevin Burkhart, who's going to be on the call for the Titans and the Eagles on Sunday, the lead announcer of the NFL on Fox, is going to join us at 11. At noon, D-Mace?
Yes.
Our old buddy, Nick Kale.
Oh! I got a few bones to pick right now.
I know.
Oh, yes, I do. I just want to ask.
Got some old skeletons in the closet there?
I'm excited to have Nick on. Nick's a good guy. Nick's back in Philly.
Obviously, Philly guy.
We're going to have him on to talk Eagles. Oh, yeah. I have a feeling there's going to be no analysis at all. It's just going to be trash talking the whole time. We'll do Ask D-Mace at 12:30, and who knows what else we get into after that. But the Predators getting it done last night. What a freaking comeback. I mean, you had the second period where New Jersey – and so I was at the NASCAR Awards. I get home. Uh-huh. I turn it on in the second period. And it's 2-2. And I was like, I thought it was just 2-0 Preds. Like, what's going on here? And New Jersey had scored three straight. They take a 3-2 lead. That's where the score is pretty much through, you know, until 9 seconds left in the game when Mikhail Granlund, with a just beautiful goal, ties it up. And then it goes to overtime. And Ryan Johansson, who started the night by giving the Preds a 1-0 lead, ends it in overtime. And the Predators steal the 2 points and come away with it. And look, it's highway robbery. You'll take it however you can get it. But, man, what a game.
Hey, you're going against one of the best teams in the NHL right now. I mean, I looked at their schedule yesterday, and at first glance, I'm like, did they lose a game? Because I just saw a bunch of W's down the board. I'm like, goodness gracious. But they were. I think they had lost a few games here and there recently, and I mean, if you're going to get a team like that, you get them not when they are on that heater, but when they are coming off that heater. And I think what they had lost two games prior to playing the Preds. I think they won and then lost two or something like that. And
well, it's an interesting track. They lost the first two games of the year, 5-2, 5-2, and they were booing their coach. They were chanting for their coach to be fired. Fire Lindy. Fire Lindy. They won 13 in a row, 16 out of 17. And then they started chanting, sorry, Lindy. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Lindy. Then they finally lost the other day. That's what you were referring to. They lost to the Maple Leafs. Yeah. Then they rolled off three in a row again. And it's unbelievable what they're doing. So the Predators, I thought, you know, they stole the win late. But I thought the most encouraging thing about the game was that they 5-on-5, they contained the Devils. That was the question that we were asking a lot, Derek, is it seems like when they had played some of the elite teams before, Colorado at Colorado, Edmonton, an explosive offensive team, even Tampa, who they got to overtime against, you just had a sense during the game, man, they're having trouble. They're having trouble hanging with these guys. They're having trouble stopping them. Last night, they took a team that was among the top scoring teams in the league, and they didn't give up a whole lot offensively. Now, the power play and the section of the game you referred to, Chase, three quick goals. That was a quick explosion. The rest of the game, I thought they did a very good job playing their system, playing the way they needed to play.
Saros made some big saves.
He made some big saves, but he didn't have to make a ton of them, right? He just made some timely ones. There was a couple. I mean, you're just not going to stop a team like the Devils the entire game, right? For 60 minutes, they're averaging almost 4 goals a game. They're going to get their chances. And Saros did an excellent job keeping it a 1-goal game. But I thought when they took the penalty with 2:46, I was like, ah, that's probably going to be it. Because once you get your guy out of the box, there's so little time to build momentum, get your goalie off the ice, get the extra attacker on there. But they found a way. That was a big, big win for their confidence.
They got points. That's all that mattered.
Yep.
Huh?
They got the W.
Moving forward.
Yeah, and I got to say this. I heard Robbie and Rex were doing their picks to click this morning. And I think it was Rex Road went with Rex Road's not on today. It was Vingan. No. Adam Vingan went with Matt Duchene because he's due. And I think Matt Duchene's playing pretty well right now. I've liked his game. Yeah, Johansson too. But I really like how Duchene's been playing, Willie.
The last few games, mm-hmm. Matt Duchene has really played well. And I think Johansson, obviously, yesterday with two goals and an assist, played a powerful game. It's very, very easy to look through the years. Mm-hmm. When those two guys play well in particular, the Predators become a very, very different team. When they're not, the Predators are trying to rally, trying to figure out ways. They become a pretty ordinary team. But those two guys, when they play, when they have their A game, and last night I thought most of the top players played pretty well. I thought Philip Forsberg really struggled last night. He's had a couple of games where I'm not sure what's going on. He's just not locked in. For whatever reason, you're going to have a few bad games. But Duchene, let's just take the game-winning play. Mm-hmm. Watch the play that Matt Duchene makes to get the puck. He stayed after it. There's three Devils down there. He battles for it. He goes in. He engages with a couple of them. He fights for it. He gets it back. There's three guys around him, and then he makes a perfect backhand pass right on the tape to Ryan Johansson. So that's an elite player right there. That's a guy playing at an elite level. So we know Matt Duchene is capable of it. The other night when they're struggling against the Devils, they're not getting a lot of offense. Matt Duchene made the two big plays, right? He had the primary assists on both goals, both great passes at the right time. He's a guy that's got that ability, and you see what the Predators can do when your top players, mm-hmm. and not to single him out because there's other guys that fall into this category. They need those guys to carry the load.
I mean, if you talking about the play that Duchene had to Johansson in overtime, he just completely out-hustled all three Devils just to get the puck. And he found, he found Johansson right in front of the net. And, he scores. And they're going to have to continue to do stuff like that, I think, until they start playing consistently. Those top guys, I think they're going to have to continue to give that hustle effort. And it worked for him, especially in overtime. I mean, if Duchene doesn't get that, we don't know what happens. If he doesn't hustle, and I'm sure that's one play that Hines will point out. Like,
yes.
This is the play. If we do this, we will win more games than not. And we haven't been doing this consistently. So if we do this consistently, then we can win football. We can win this. We can win hockey games.
You know, we had a great talk with John Hines in the morning before the game, and he shared with us. He said we had a meeting today about what are the things we need to do to beat good teams, and what have we not done quite as well, or what have we gotten away with against some bad teams, let's be honest. Anaheim's not a great team. Arizona's not a great team. Nashville beat them both, but it took a lot to beat them both. A little too much, right? It was a little mm-hmm. too close for comfort. They did get it done. But he was pointing out examples of this is what you can't get away with when you play a team like the Devils. They're too quick. They're too skilled. They're too fast. So the team really responded to that. Now, you got another test tonight, and it's the same kind of thing. Look at the first game between the Predators and the Islanders. Nashville jumped all over them. They played 30 great minutes. That's about as well as I've seen the Predators play. They jumped out 4-1. And then in the second 30 minutes, they got into some bad habits. They got a little bit lax, and a really good team like the Islanders came roaring back, and Nashville hung on for dear life and won the game. But I think that's what they're striving for. We always talk about consistency. Last night was a good example of if you can play your game, and everybody is consistent, and brings it every night like that, they have a formula that can win a lot of games. Yes. Not every game, but they're going to win their share of games, especially with the goaltender they have.
John, and look, here's the record on NHL Network. 11 seconds in, Ryan Johansson and David Legwan have that record for the fastest goal to start a game in Predators history. Now, mm-hmm. I believe Johansson has the road record now. Is that?
I'm trying to remember that game against the Blues. That was not a very good Blues team. That was the end of the 06-07 season, so yeah. That's sort of end of the regular season. I don't recall
that
particular play. So
I just remember Legwan for the empty netters.
he had plenty of those.
But John Hines, 4-0-0 against his former team.
Crazy.
He has owned them. And I thought what you and Mace were talking about last night, you know, that John Hines came very well recommended from Tom Fitzgerald and, you know, Ray Shiro, guys that David Poile knows very well, that they didn't, that, you know, Fitzgerald didn't want to get rid of him.
No.
It was more of a above him kind of thing. So, you know, and now
right.
He's here.
If you look at what happened with the Devils when the John Hines was the coach, they had one excellent overachieving season where Taylor Hall was the MVP. They made the playoffs. Nobody thought they would make the playoffs. And then the following year and a half, the goaltending, and it started with the guy that they really were counting on, Corey Schneider, that just fell off the map. Their goaltending imploded. And when
I forgot about him.
When you don't have good goaltending, unless your team is absolutely loaded, you really don't have a chance to win over 82 games. And so that was really the biggest issue. Not to say John Hines is the perfect coach, but that's kind of what went wrong. But Tom Fitzgerald, who I had a chance to talk to a little bit last night, such a class guy. There's a reason he was a captain here, and David Poile pinpointed him as the first captain. But he recognized, you know, and that's why he recommended him to David Poile. When the Predators made a coaching change, Tom Fitzgerald said, I got a good coach down here, there's a good coach. It was unfortunate circumstances. Ownership wanted to make a change, but I think he's a really good coach. And David Poile, that's why he chose John Hines, for sure. That made a lot of difference, I think, in choosing who the next guy was going to be.
So the Predators back in action tonight. I'll have pregame for you at 5:30 as they take on Lane Lambert and the Islanders. So be cool to – or Lane Lambert. I'm so used to Dan Lambert now. That
we got Lamberts and Lambert. That's always tough.
A lot of the guys called him Lane Lambert. That was kind of – I remember Rich Kloon calling him that. But anyway, that's coming up later today. Coming up next, is this a Mike Vrabel special? There's one guy on the NFL Network that thinks it might be. We'll discuss that coming up here. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Nick Shook has an article out right now where he discusses the underdogs who he believes can knock off some favorites in week 13. Mm-hmm. So here we go. You had to pick which team do you think is going to surprise us in week 13.
Okay. I like my guy Nick Shook. Does good work.
Yeah.
You know who's going to be shook this weekend? This is my upset of the weekend. I think the Titans are going to beat the Eagles. That's just my take. Maybe I'll be wrong. Philadelphia, chill out. I just think it has more to do with Tennessee. I just can't see the Mike Vrabel Titans going to 7-5. They're nothing if not the bedrock of consistency. They're that buoy that can't go underwater. It always pops back up. They will be there. They will matter in the end. And 7-5, you're getting into dangerous territory of, this thing gets away from us. We won't make the playoffs. The Titans are rock solid. The Philadelphia Eagles are great. It's tough to go through the season. You lose sometimes. I think the Titans are going to go in there. Derrick Henry was very quiet last week. His most notable play was an uncharacteristic fumble at the goal line. Shut down in the run game. I think they go into Philadelphia. Philadelphia maybe their bleep doesn't stink as much. I think Titans are going to win this game. Low scoring, Titans win, and that's my pick of the week. What do you got, Jamie?
Top team in the NFC, you think, going down. Second best team in the NFC, I think.
At home.
At home.
Wow. Kyle Brandt, Good Morning Football, NFL Network, saying that his pick of the week, his upset of the week, Titans over the Eagles. Welcome back in. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I'm curious of Derrick Henry. You know, we've made a lot about Derrick Henry, and I've heard people saying the reports of Derrick Henry's demise are greatly exaggerated. I don't think we've been saying that this is his demise. We've just simply stated fact that the last few weeks he hasn't been as effective. But can he be effective against the Philadelphia Eagles and that defensive front? time will tell. We'll find out on Sunday at 12 o'clock. But this, to me, does feel like a Mike Vrabel-type special, almost, that, you know, they lose in a tight one to Cincinnati, a bad penalty at the end to win the game. But it was a game that they just didn't play better than Cincinnati. Derrick Henry wasn't effective on the ground. Can they you know, rectify that this week and get the upset? It wouldn't shock me. I've been saying that, you know, all week, that it just nothing like that shocks me anymore with Mike Vrabel.
No, it doesn't. He always manages to, for whatever reason, he always get these guys up to play. You never see them. Well, you rarely see them just get blown out. Their worst loss this year, obviously, was the Bills game, and that game went downhill sort of fast. And you know, when you play the Bills the second game of the season, they're completely healthy. Man, oh man, that's not good for anybody. But when, you know, whether it's the Chiefs, they played them strong. The Bengals, they played them strong. And, you know, we even think, had Ryan Tannehill been a part of the game in Kansas City, it might have changed. The outcome might have been a lot different had Ryan Tannehill been a quarterback. But they've always found a way to be more than competitive against these upper echelon teams. But the problem is they hadn't been able to beat them this season. Now, in prior seasons, we can go back to them playing Buffalo, them playing Kansas City, where everyone thought they were going to lose, and they go in and they beat the team. And they just impose their will, their physical. And I think that's why, you know, you hear in certain parts where they're picking the Titans over the Philadelphia Eagles. Everybody know and understand how good the Eagles are. But one thing they know about the Tennessee Titans is that, well, two things, is that they are very well coached. They might be the best coached team in the National Football League. And they're going to play hard and physical every contest. Now, you may get them every once in a while, but it's not because they didn't show up with their hard hats. They're going to show up with their hard hats, and they're going to play physical. And that always gives them an opportunity to win.
That's my first thought, is I want to see the Titans get back to what they do well, and that's win the physical battle. That was the most shocking thing, I think, around the league, is, and it's really probably more about how the Bengals impressed than how the Titans didn't get it done. I think nationally people took note of the fact that the Bengals did such a good job on both lines of scrimmage. I want to see if the Titans could get back to it, especially defensively. You don't have much of a chance against Philadelphia if you can't be physical up front. They've got to take away Miles Sanders. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts is tough to contain. You have to try to limit the amount of quarterback runs that he's going to get. They're a tough matchup. But I want to see if they can be disruptive up front. Jeffrey Simmons getting back on his game, and that's something to watch. Is that ankle still bothering him? They don't have DeNico Autry. Can they play at that level against the top team? To me, that's where it starts. And, you know, I heard
they have to control the line of scrimmage. They didn't do that last week.
I heard the guys on the NFL Network talking there. You know, it's still not panic time if you lose and you go to 7-5, just because the rest of the division, nobody's really making a run yet. I still think Jacksonville could go on a run, and you've still got to play Jacksonville twice. You get some head-to-head games there. But you've got a little bit of cushion here. So it's not a must-win, and it's a non-conference game, but I think it's just more of a you try to showcase what you do well against the top teams in the league. And it starts with physicality on the offensive line and the defensive line.
It was funny. I ran into Bob Shoup up in the 501 Club the other night. He's been doing some segments with Stillman and Company. And we were talking and, you know, catching up and everything, and we got into the Titans. And I mean, he pointed that out of just it was very apparent to him. They were just – it wasn't that they were outmatched necessarily at the line of scrimmage, but missing a guy like DeNico Autry really changed the game plan and made that such a tough matchup. My guess is DeNico Autry's not going to be available this week either.
I don't think so.
So you know, take nothing away from some of the depth pieces that they've had on the defensive line, but losing Autry is really tough.
Yeah, it is.
Nick Sirianni knows that because he coached him.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we just look at, you know, the big name guys when they're out, whether, and you know, whether it's Jeffrey Simmons or Derrick Henry or Ryan Tannehill. We look at those guys or Treylon Burks when they're out. It's like, oh man, goodness, what are we gonna do? But you sometimes we forget about the guys, the glue guys like Denico Autry. He's a guy that, you know, possibly on just about any other team, he would be a marquee player because of the way he plays in that interior line. But because he's lined up on a line with Jeffrey Simmons, he doesn't get maybe the notoriety that he deserves. But he's a glue guy. He's one of those guys that's going to do his job. He's going to do it effectively. And you don't have to worry about whether Denico Autry is going to show up this game or not. No. If he's healthy to play, he's going to play, and he's going to play hard. He's the one guy that I think the Titans, other than Jeffrey Simmons, that I think the Titans cannot afford to lose moving forward. And they need to get him back as soon as possible, because not having him puts more pressure on Jeffrey Simmons, I believe, because now they can double team. And I like Tier Tartan, those guys, but Denico Autry is a different type of dude, I believe. And when teams are double teaming Jeffrey Simmons, Denico Autry can dominate from his position. Now you don't have him. Now you're hoping that Bud Dupree is healthy or he doesn't leave the game. And that's like a crapshoot. You know, he may start the game, but he may not finish it, or he may not start it at all. So losing Denico Autry for an extended amount of time, it's going to be hard on that defensive line, because they need that glue guy back. Because a lot of attention is going to be paid to Jeffrey Simmons, so they need that other guy that can dominate and wreck a game.
Yes, yes, indeed, they will. And again, we'll talk to Kevin Burkhart coming up in about 30 minutes. He'll be on the call for this game, get his thoughts on it. The injury report, I am concerned about one person in particular as they continue to navigate through the injuries this year. We'll discuss that coming up next, but it is parlay time. Can you make your parlays pop this holiday season? You can win some money from Vegas with weekly parlay bonuses from Superbook Sports. If you place a three-team football parlay, Superbook will give you a $10 bonus voucher. It's your holiday bonus courtesy of Superbook Sports. You can rack up the wins and earn some holiday cash by betting parlays with Superbook. So this is what you do. Go download the Superbook Tennessee app, place your parlay bet today, and win. I'm going to give you one right now for Sunday. I like Detroit +1 against Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville had a big come-from-behind win last week, but I think that Detroit takes care of that at home because, as my friend Rick says, home dogs bark louder. Another home dog, the Giants +2.5 against Washington. In Heineke, we trust, but I think it wears out this week. Both teams fighting for a playoff spot. Give me the Giants +2.5. And then finally, Kansas City on the road -2 against Cincinnati. Cincinnati had the big win against Titans last week. Not going to happen this week. So Lions +1, Giants +2.5, KC -2. That is my parlay. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Very, very good. A little Bobby Brown. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. I see what you did there, Nick. You had Whitney and then Bobby Brown. Very good. Very good. You're learning. I'm teaching you. Chase Willie, D-Mace, Kevin Burkhart at 11, Nick Cale at noon, talking Titans and Eagles. So the injury report comes out yesterday, and I was sitting at the in the media room at the NASCAR Awards. Mm-hmm. Talking to Teresa Walker from the AP, she was there, and when the injury report came out, she said, oh, no, this isn't good. And I said, what? And she goes, there's somebody's name that hasn't been on it that just popped up that they didn't practice, and it's Nate Davis. Now, it looks like they're going to get Ben Jones back, He's been a full participant in the last 2 days, so that's good. But now, if Nate Davis can't go, are you going to put Radens at the other guard spot?
Of course you are.
Yeah,
I mean,
what else are you?
Well, so yeah,
exactly. What else are you going to do? I mean, he's the next guy up. Whether he's that swing guard, whether it's the left guard where he's had to play, I think the last game or two, because it's two games because Ben's been out two games, so he's had to play that swing guard. Well, you throw him on the other side and see how it goes. This Titan offensive line hadn't been able to catch a break all season. It started with Taylor Lewan going down, and then you got to put Dennis Daly in and Nicholas. You know, he's just getting his, you know, he's a rookie, so he has to feel his way through. And then you have, you know, that everybody else on that offensive line, I mean, they just hadn't been able to catch a break. Now to get Ben Jones back, now Nate Davis is on the injury report. Hopefully he can play, but man, oh man, if it's not one thing, it's another for this offensive line.
I have to address a text real quick. Will from Nashville on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Chase, home dogs may bark louder, cute, but what does that have to do with the Lions this weekend? Lions are not the dogs. He's continuing to argue with me. On the Superbook Sports app, Will, the Detroit Lions are +1, which means they are a one-point underdog.
Yes, if it says +1.
Yes. Now, other books could have them favored,
mm-hmm.
but the Superbook Sports app, which the is book my official going,
exactly,
book,
absolutely,
the Lions are +1.
So he can't get, I mean, he can't get up. What is he upset about?
He's arguing with you.
Why is he arguing with you?
Some people just like to be upset on Twitter. They just,
what is he arguing with you?
This is the text line. And Will, you're an avid listener. Yeah, and I appreciate it. But
Will, but one of his books says +1.
Is this the Duke of Earl coming after us again? Remember the Duke of Earl tried to set us straight on the one?
It could be.
Like he had like a pay attention.
No, I would defend you guys for that one, okay?
Let's see. I'm looking at another book. I'm not going to say their name because they're not my official sports book.
Okay.
They are +1, Will. So, yeah.
It's two books.
Yeah. I don't know what
we have a second source.
Yeah. Now, Will, you might have your third or fourth source may say are a -1. We don't know.
Now, Vegas Insider, which is a very good website, does have Detroit in some areas as -1 and some as +1. So that's probably what he's looking at.
Oh, okay.
So that's all right. That's why you shop, except for going with Superbook. You should always go with Superbook.
Absolutely. If you don't go Superbook, you're super crazy.
Well done. Well done, Derek Mason. But yeah, the offensive line, and you know, the other thing too is getting them to run, you know, getting Derrick Henry going. You know, I think having Ben Jones back in the lineup is certainly going to help that. But Nate Davis, that's kind of been one of his big things is run blocking.
Mm-hmm.
And so losing him would be really tough.
Well, what's the issue? He wasn't on there.
It was a knee. Ooh. So this is a knee.
Okay. So just worth noting, today we'll get a little bit more on that.
But he has been practicing all week, right? This is the first time he showed up on the injury report, Nate Davis. If that is indeed the case, then I'm optimistic he will play. He probably tweaked it a little bit, swell up some, and they held him out of Friday's practice because Friday practice is usually a shorter practice, an hour and 10, 15 minutes, a lot of red zone stuff, 2 minute. So they're not going to do too much of anything. So holding him out of practice for cautionary reasons is a good thing. If he hadn't practiced like all week because of this knee, then I'd be like, okay, we got a serious problem here. But I do anticipate, if this is the only day he's missed or will miss, I anticipate that he will play on Sunday because they're going to need him.
I hope so.
It's hard to know. I mean, hopefully he didn't tweak something at practice or something like that, or you know, the day before in practice. My biggest focus now is get everybody, and they were able to do this last year. It didn't unfortunately lead to success in the playoffs, but they got everybody back for the playoff game. And so I do think when you have a little bit of a cushion, mm-hmm. you can't let your guard down. But you also can be thinking, look, I've got a little cushion here. Let's not make anything worse if I can give a guy an extra week if it's smart. And Autry I'm thinking of here mm-hmm. in this case, and I don't know what the situation is with Davis, but it's smart, I think, to look at the long game and not just we've got to win on Sunday, because the reality is, I mean, especially by NFL standards, they have earned a little bit of a cushion.
Right. And, you know, you obviously you would like to win because then you can say, hey, we beat one of the best teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And to this point, you haven't done that yet. You know, you got blown out by Buffalo, tight game with Kansas City, tight game with Cincinnati. You know, so you would like to get one of those signature wins, but as Willie's pointing out, in the grand scheme of things, you don't have to. You know, it's an NFC opponent. But I think to Kyle Brandt's point, it's hard to envision a Mike Vrabel team dropping to 7-5. So that's kind of where they're at with that. Ron on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. This is a good one for you, D-Mace.
Uh-huh.
Would you rather have an offensive line with weight and strength or weight and speed? I think I would go with weight and strength. The Titans, to me, don't have the weight but have the speed. I think that's a problem. We need weight, strength, and speed to be successful, just from what I've observed.
I mean, it just depends. You know, some offensive lines are heavier than others. It's all about technique. You know, if you can get that lower body, that base of yours, if you use good technique, listen, even the bigger, stronger ones are going to get beat. And a lot of times they get beat by speed or lack of technique because they figure, you know, I'm going to win because I'm so big and strong. But that's not the end-all, be-all. If you don't have perfect technique, then you're going to lose more times than not, especially when you're going against those elite rushers who use several different moves and counter moves. I would just like to have a solid line, you know, a line of guys that know one another, a cohesive line, whether, you know, they have to have some type of girth to them. You know, you don't want a bunch of 250-pounders. You just get pushed back, you know, but you need, you know, some weight to you. But, you know, as long as these guys have good technique, as long as they are cohesive in what they're doing, everybody's on the same page. You know, you're going to have success more times than not, regardless of, you know, whether you are a big, strong guy or a fast, strong guy. If you use your technique properly, then you're going to have some success. So, but, I mean, that's a question you need to ask Derrick Henry. He would probably want those bigger guys to kind of push on that defensive line and open up those holes.
Yeah, because I feel like at this point where he's gotten to, even though he's still big and, I mean, he's still effective, I'm not saying that he's mm-hmm. – Derrick Henry's done. That's not what I'm saying. But I think he's going to need better offensive line play. That's just what he's going to need.
Of course, moving forward. That's why I said –
he could cover that up for a long time. Now it's getting to the point where he's going to need
He needs help. More help. And that's why these injuries are you know, they're coming – at a bad time for the Titans, because, you know, I've always said the NFL, you know, there's parity across the board. There may be a few teams that are just a peg above others, but that's because of the quarterback. But for the most part, everybody is truly, you know, on the same plane, and it takes those that one or two little things that you do that's going to sort of push you over it. And one of those things is staying healthy. If you can stay healthy, the NFL is a war of attrition, just like hockey. It's a war of attrition. If you can, whoever stays healthiest the longest or gets healthier the fastest toward the end, like the Titans are going in the opposite direction. Now they're starting to lose people. And you don't want to see that happen, especially on the offensive line. So if these guys can come back, if Nate Davis can play, if Ben Jones stays healthy, then I think they have a good thing moving forward, because if they lose one of those offensive linemen, it's going to be hard for Derrick Henry to run.
615-737-1025. That is our number if you want to weigh in on the Titans and the Eagles here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. We're presented by Hair Club. Regrow your own natural hair through non-surgical options that deliver impressive results. Hair Club. Love your hair. Live your life.
Give me a beat!
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Yes, my playlist is back.
There you go.
Helping Nick out today.
You like feel you, Nick.
You like some Janet?
There you go.
I bet D-Mace had this on his mixtape.
I think everybody had this on their mixtape. Yeah. Janet Jackson.
I saw a tweet the other day from Tommy Lee that it was a picture of a mixtape that he had from like 1986 or something like that, and he had written out all the songs.
Oh, I've still got mine somewhere in my closet somewhere.
And he was like, "I bet kids today have no idea what this is, and nor do they have the patience to put it together."
No,
That used to be a whole day. Like,
you had to get
your buddies. You each bring your stuff, right? The college dorm, we had a lot of that.
Everybody's
got their own little library. Mm-hmm. You say, I want to put that. So we start making the mixtape. Hey, what's next? And then
you get a blank. So because I missed the mixtape. I had mix CDs, so it was a little easier for me. But you had to have a stereo with two tape decks, so you could play one and then record on the other,
right?
And just put it all together.
Or the CD, you could take the CD to the cassette.
But you had to time it just right, because you never wanted the song to end. You had to. It was like you never wanted the song to overlap. You never wanted one song to kind of overlap the other song at the end. So you had to time it just right as it was going out. And then the other song.
Now, you could have
the transition.
Exactly.
The transition is huge.
You could have. Now, I remember my dad telling me, because he was such a perfectionist, when he would do it, he had it where you could fade down a song. And so he could do the crossover.
Yes. Okay.
He could do the crossover.
Good feature. And here's the other art form. As you're running out of tape on, let's say you got a 90-minute tape, you got to take a look at, do I have enough room for one
for
more song? Or do I have a short
song
I could get in there? Or do I just know there's not enough room, it's going to cut off the song? You can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't do that. But you got to have something to fill the last however much time you've got left. I'll tell you who's the all-time greatest that I used to collaborate with a lot. Billy McCaffrey, who was just this week named to the Vanderbilt University Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. He and I would talk about this, right? It was the the creation of one of these, some of the things that we thought were rules, that was one of them, right? The end of the tape.
So and y'all basically were producers.
We were the producers, And you had to have the flow, right? You go with a fast song, you got to transition into the next song.
Absolutely.
Like each song's got to lead to the next one. It's an art form.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think the youngsters, they don't.
Nope, this is way too complicated.
Yep.
Would never do this.
Takes too much time.
Yeah. Okay. So
I mean, it did take hours.
Yeah.
It took hours.
They had mixtapes. I had mixed CDs.
Right.
You have basically probably just had iPod.
No, I did the same thing as you actually.
You've had a
mixed
CD?
Up. So we did that growing up, and then it became playlists like Spotify and Apple Music, all kinds of stuff.
See, it's just like I used to enjoy building a CD. Now, again, it was different, but it took time.
Exactly.
Because a lot of times, sorry to the music industry, you would rip a CD, like rip one of your friend's CDs and then pick some songs off, or there were other ways to acquire songs that probably are not legal. And you would...
Napster!
Excuse me. And so I would create mix CDs, and I kind of got a little side hustle going. when I got
don't incriminate yourself here.
I think the statute
of limitations
has passed.
But
like in like in eighth grade at high school, somebody would be like, "Hey, I'll give you $20. Here's a list of songs. Can you make a CD?" Like I've heard you can make CDs.
Chase was so we Chase went, the DJ. DJ Chase.
So one, the first time that I was like making a CD together, I didn't understand that they only hold so much. Uh-huh. And so I made this huge playlist of like 25 songs or something like that. And so I'd like start it burning, like, please insert another CD. Please insert another CD. So I had like three CDs that I made.
Goodness.
But I played them until they just didn't work anymore. It's like the tapes. I mean, it just eventually
wear out eventually. Yeah.
But man, that was
those were the days. Now the
days.
Throwback day.
Rebecca says on our text line, loving the Chase playlist. Ron throws out LimeWire. That was another one.
Okay,
you know, when Napster got shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Justin and Greenbrier, I used to make a list of songs and try and add the times together so that I can make it work out right. Also loved recording off the top 40 radio shows.
That was big too. That was huge.
You have the tape recorder ready on pause, and then you wait for that DJ to stop talking, then you hit it right there, and you'd always like, come on, stop talking. I want to hear the intro. But the guy was like, 102.5 the game. And then the lyrics start like, ah, I missed the intro.
They would talk over the instrumental. But you know what's funny? In my early, when I realized that I wanted to do something like this, I would do that. I would record songs off the radio, but then I would be the DJ, and like because I had a microphone, so I would record and you know hit the post,
DJ
and all
Chase.
Those things. Eric in Mount Pleasant, do any of you guys remember sitting around listening to the radio? With here you go. That's what we're just saying. With your finger on the record button.
Oh yeah, big that time. Happened plenty of times. Plenty of times. So good old days. Now is much easier.
It is much easier.
It's much easier. I like it now.
Yeah.
Will from Nashville says, I was at VU with Willie, but his and my parents' generation had to mix reel to reel. Did they?
Reel to reel.
Oh, man. Yes. Goodness.
He said his dad had a bunch of those.
Man.
Reel to reel.
I don't think I'd have had the patience
the
for
only
that
time, the only time I ever saw that, when I first started working in radio, way, way back, they still had the reel to reel, and they had the old cart, which looks like an 8-track. You ever seen those, Chase? Did you get? I mean, when you got here, I don't think we had any old carts.
No, but I did.
That's what
when
people
I was
used
in school,
to do.
When I was in school, I did.
Okay.
Because I actually got extra credit in a class one time because I edited reel to reel.
Wow, that's impressive.
Go ahead, Chase.
Oh, that's impressive.
Oh, it wasn't great, but I did it. You know, it was hard.
It was the effort, man.
Yeah, it was the effort. It was the fact that I was willing to try.
Exactly, and nobody else was.
Dilla, do you remember when you would download a song off Kazaa, and I remember Kazaa, and get a screecher? Kazaa. Kids today will never know that terror. It's true. You would download it and be like, hey, Blink-182, all the small things. You'd download it and be like just screaming, or it would be like something would be corrupt with the file.
Yeah. I remember sometimes on something like that. I do remember. I had not heard that term in a long time, but I do remember Kazaa. But
that
sometimes it would be the different version of a song. You're like, oh, here's the song I really wanted to find. But it wasn't the original version. It was
or it was sound
knockoff. Yeah,
that was a streaming platform, wasn't it? Because
I think eventually it became that. But it was one of the because again, you know, our methods,
legalities,
our methods of things. Napster gets shut down because I remember this was like 2000 maybe.
Yeah, early 2000s. Yeah.
And an injunction gets filed, and so they're going to shut it down at like midnight at a certain time. So my uncle is at my grandmother's, and she had the computer. She had the state-of-the-art computer at the time and the fast internet. And so I remember sitting up there with him until like midnight downloading all these songs before Napster shut down, and then it shut down, and then LimeWire came to be, and like there were all these other things, and you know we all did it. So I don't know how we got down that rabbit hole, but
we did. Well, I mean, you've inspired us.
The
with your art form, the playlist. You gotta love a good playlist.
Coming up next, we'll talk Titans with Kevin Burkhart. He's the lead announcer for the NFL on Fox. We'll do that next. Chase Willie D Mace 102.5 106.3 The Game.